Well, Tim, I did good. I turned my microphone on. I forgot to turn the tape on. So anybody that's listening out there, I'm sorry here for about the first 20 minutes. But what we're speaking about is there more than one way to God? Okay? So Philippians 2, chapter 6 through 8. So Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and made in the likeness of men. He came to earth as a human. God came to us through Jesus Christ. No other religion does that. That's what makes Jesus different. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, so there's one true faith. There's one true Jesus. Anything else, shy of Jesus, away from Jesus, apart from Jesus, will not work. Okay? It won't do it. So, let me ask you this. How would you feel if somebody in your family, they've been searching, and they say, you know, I think Hinduism's the way. That's what I'm going to do. You would be heartbroken. So if you're going to do that, we can all just get her up, go over to Tim Gruder's, worship a cow. And for God's sake, whatever you do, if you see a fly flying around, don't swat it. It might be your grandfather. Okay? That's what he made come back to life as. So, it's not the same. Now, there's a list of religions that were against God in the Bible. And God says, oh, you will not worship any of these other gods. It'll be me and me only. The Canaanites worshiped Baal and Asherah. They were the fertility rites and ritual practices in direct conflict with God's law. Baal was the Canaanite god of fertility, storms, and rain. So you know all about Baal. You heard of Baal. Both Testaments full of Baal. We know Elijah calls down fire from heaven against the prophets of Baal, right? Asherah was the Canaanite mother goddess of fertility. Turn to Judges 2. Judges 2. Judges 2 summarizes how Israel was in a constant state of rebellion, punishment, and rescue. So they turned away from God. They'd worship other gods. God would come in and save them, deliver them, and then they'd show their great gratitude by doing the whole thing over again. It was a constant cycle. If you read in Acts, you go to Peter's delivery in Acts 3, I believe it was. Then you go on to Stephen. They give, especially Stephen, gives a rendition of basically the Old Testament history and just mentions this, how their what their fathers did, how their fathers constantly turned against God. They knew, but they turned against Him. And Judges 2 explains why they were unable to conquer the Promised Land. So Judges 2, 11 through 23. Okay, so I'm going to read slowly here. Judges 2, 11 through 23. So let's see what the Bible says about other gods and other religions. Okay, Judges 2, 11 through 23. Then the sons of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served the Baals. So there's the first time other gods are mentioned. And the Bible says they did evil by doing this, okay? Verse 12. And they abandoned the Lord. So does that sound to you right there like you can worship more than one? I can worship God or I can worship this, it's no difference to God. No. When they did it, they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods. So this is the second time it's mentioned already. From the gods of the peoples who were around them. What does that mean? All these other individuals, all these other nations, all these other people that were apart from the Jewish people and they brought in, God was clear, you will not mix with them, you will not intermarry with them, you will not do any of that, you will not worship their gods. And what happens? You now you just go ahead and do it. And they got all these individuals around them, they start bringing in their pagan gods, and the Israelites start worshiping. And it says that they abandoned God. And they bowed down to them and they provoked the Lord to anger. So is the Lord happy about this? Absolutely not. He's angry. They went again, exactly against what he told them not to do. Okay? Went exactly against it. Total disobedience. Verse 13. They abandoned the Lord and served Baal and Asherah. So the third time it's mentioned they worship other gods. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Israel, and he handed them over to plunderers, other countries, other armies. This was the story of the Old Testament. They worship other gods, they turn against them, and God says to other countries, go in and take them. Happens all the time, happened all the time through the Old Testament. Now let me ask you this. What have these people done wrong except worshiping other gods? Nothing. Well, I'm sure they did, but there's nothing here that's mentioned. Okay? They worship other gods, and God said, I will not have it. I won't stand for it. He handed them over to plunderers, and they plundered them, and he sowed them into the hands of their enemies around them so that they could no longer stand against their enemies. Whenever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had spoken, and just as the Lord had sworn to them, so they were severely distressed. Then the Lord raised up judges, and the judges saved them from the hands of those who plundered them. So God says, even through this, I will have grace upon you, my people. I'll bring in judges, and they will save you from these people. So surely they would get right. Fly right, wouldn't you think? Yet they did not listen to the judges. For they committed infidelity with other gods and bowed down to them. Other gods mentioned again. No other sin here. No other thing that's mentioned besides worshiping other gods. They're not the same. All roads do not lead to God. All roads do not lead to heaven. They turned aside quickly from the way in which their fathers had walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do the same as their fathers. Verse 18. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and saved them from the hands of their enemies all the days of the judge. So even despite gross disobedience, they had turned against God, he still showed grace and mercy. He does the same for us today. There's never been anywhere in the Bible that you'll see where God didn't go the extra step. They say that the extra mile is the loneliest road. God's been on that lonely road a lot. And the Lord was moved to pity to their groaning because of those who tormented and oppressed them. Well, why were they tormented and oppressed in the first place? Because they worshiped other gods. But God said, I will have pity on them, even though they brought this on themselves. But it came about, verse 19, when the judge died, that they would turn back and act more corruptly than their fathers. How? In following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not abandon their practices or their obstinate ways. So the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. And he said, because this nation has violated my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and has not listened to my voice, I in turn will no longer drive out from them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died. God said, I had enough. I've turned the other cheek. I've turned it, and I've turned it, and I've turned it. I don't have any more cheeks left. okay, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk in it as their fathers did or not. So the Lord allowed those nations to remain, not driving them out quickly, and he did not hand them over to Joshua. So God, thank you, sir. I'm washing my hands of you. I'm washing my hands. Okay? I pulled you out. And as soon as I do, you turn right back. It's not the same. Like we said, what were they guilty of? Worshiping other gods. But they're going to tell you today, all roads lead to God. All religions lead to God. Nuh-uh. You can't find anywhere in the Bible where that's the case. Nowhere. Old Testament or New Testament. Every time they go to a different religion, a different faith, a different God, God's anger just boils. Because he said, you won't do it. It's number one. I looked down at number 10. What am I doing? Must be pretty important. It's number one on the list. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It's clear. Now, let's look at another one. Ishtar. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Ishtar. So Ishtar was the queen of heaven. And look, I'm very careful when I say this. I believe, like you said, I believe the body of Christ is for everybody. I believe that the body and that Christ and the Bible has done more to free women and for women's rights than anywhere in the world. I mean, you look how they have to live in other countries. You know, I'd love walking around with two peepholes out of my eyes, and that's all. I couldn't even uncover myself. You see, but I'm careful how I say this because I don't want to have to sleep in the car tonight. But any time they went to female gods, even in the New Testament, it was a disaster. Okay? We have an individual running for state, running for U.S. Representative here in the state of Tennessee, who was brought into a church about a year ago and prayed to Mother God. Saw the video. Sickening. Prayed to, absolutely, just defies that there's this God Jehovah. That's not who we're going to worship. Run for office here. Not in California, not New York City. Here in the state of Tennessee. He'll be on your ballot. Now, Ishtar, the queen of heaven. Jeremiah, look at Jeremiah 7, 15 through 20. I will hurl you out of my sight, just as I have hurled out all of your brothers, all the descendants of Ephraim. Now, I don't know what they've done, but if my English is right here, they're getting ready to get thrown out in the street over something. As for you, do not pray for this people and do not lift up a cry or prayer for them. And do not plead with me, for I am not listening to you. Do you not see what they're doing in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women's knit dough through the sacrificial cakes, for the queen of heaven, Ishtar. So they're doing all this, they're bringing kids into their worship. And God says, look, I'm not listening to you. When you start praying to me, you're dead. You're dead to me. I'm not listening. Okay? You're getting ready to be hurled out. All right? Verses, okay, hold on here. Sacrificial cakes for the Queen of Heaven. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods in order to provoke me to anger. So all religions lead to God? No, all religions provoke God's anger. That's the way you're going to go. That's what you're going to worship. Are they provoking me, declares the Lord? It is not themselves, instead to their own shame. Therefore, this is what the Lord God says. Behold, my anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, on human and animal life, and on the trees of the field, and the fruit of the ground, and it will burn and be not quenched. That's judgment of God. That's on individuals who worship other gods and turn to other religions, yet they'll say they're the same. I can't find anywhere in here where it says God smiles on it and it's the same. And I've looked and looked and looked and looked, man, I can't find it. Can't find it. Now, 2 Kings 17, turn there. 2 Kings 17. Now, this is not a depressing message, a feel-bad message. It's a feel-good message. Because let me tell you this, I am not at all an arrogant person. At least I don't feel like I am. I'm not at all. But I do have arrogance in the grace of God. In what He's done for us, I have all the confidence in the world. I can strut around like Trump or somebody when it comes to the grace of God. That I know I have so much confidence in God's, nothing that I've done, but in God's grace and knowing that Jesus Christ is the way, I don't even have a shadow of a doubt. 1% of 1% of 1% of 1% of a doubt, not one. We have all the confidence in the world. So we know this doesn't apply to us. So you say, why are we talking about it? Because I'm telling you, you're getting ready to get besieged with it. Your kids are going to get besieged. You're not going to be able, especially as we get closer to election time and all this. And I'm not getting into politics at all. What I'm saying is religion's being drug into politics now. On both sides. It's being drug in. And you're going to hear some of these people that are in this. You're going to start hearing all these religious statements that all religions are the same. Because you've got so many people running now who believe that. And you're going to be faced with it. I'm sure you probably have friends. I do. So when they ask you why they're not, how do you respond to it? Are you able to go to scriptures? Are you able to explain it? Do you have scripture and the word to back you up on it? This is all about information and education. So 2 Kings 17 is about the collapse of the northern kingdom of Israel. It was a 3-year siege and the fall of Samaria. So the Assyrians come in and conquer the Jewish people and then exile them. And God let that happen because of their constant idolatry. What happened in Jeremiah 7 and these other ones we've read, it's that very same thing happening here in 2 Kings 7. Okay, or 17 rather. So start with verses 7 and 8. Now, you're going to hear all through here. I've got them in bold. It looks like half the page is bold. Other gods, worshiping other gods, other gods. Now, this came to pass about because the sons of Israel had sinned against the Lord, constant pattern. The Lord their God, who had brought them up from the land of Israel, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. What did they do? How did they sin? Right off the bat. And they had feared other gods. They also followed the customs of the nations whom the Lord had driven out from the sons of Israel, and in the customs of the kings of Israel, which they had introduced. And the sons of Israel did things secretly against the Lord their God, which were not right. Moreover, they built for themselves high places in all of their towns, from watchtower to fortified city. And they set up for themselves memorial stones and Asherim on every high hill and under every green tree. And what they do? Verse 11. And they burned incense on all the high places as the nations did. And you got to remember, who are the nations? The nations are all the countries, nations aside from Israel. The Bible will mention, it'll mention nations in prophecy. It mentioned nations to Abraham. Nations does not include Israel. Nations are all the other countries outside of Israel, okay? Verse 11. And they burned incense on all the high places as the nations did that the Lord had taken into exile before them. And they did evil things, provoking the Lord. Verse 12. They served idols, concerning which the Lord had said to them, you shall not do this thing. God was clear. You don't do that. Well, they say, well, today they don't. They don't worship idols today. What do you think of Buddha is? When I grew up in East Tennessee, I was still in my 20s, and there was a sect of Buddhists, the Buddhist colony, who wanted to buy a big plot of land on the side of English Mountain, which overlooked Newport. And they were going to buy that, and they were going to build a huge, giant statue of Buddha, which you could see for miles. This was early 90s, okay? And I remember Kevin Martin, who was a younger friend of mine, and he said, I don't want to wake up every morning and look out the window and see Buddha. It was idle. And if you lived in East Tennessee, where I live, that's the first thing you did every morning. When you got up, you looked out the window and said, hello, mountain. That's what you would look at. I remember when I moved to Middle Tennessee. 1996, I moved to Pulaski. I woke up, I looked out the window, and all I saw was a flat piece of land. I thought I'd missed the rapture. There was no mountain to see. But they were going to put that statue up, an idol, and it said, do not worship other idols. Well, there's billions of Buddhists and religions, especially in Asia. That's what they worship. They worship idols. He said, do not do this thing. Verse 13. Yet the Lord warned Israel and Judah through all his prophets and the seers, saying, turn back from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes in accordance with all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you through my servants and people. So God's still patient, and he's saying, turn back. Come back. Quit doing it. However, no surprise here, they did not listen, but they stiffened their neck. They even got more stubborn. Like their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God, they rejected his statutes and his covenants, which he made with their fathers, and his warnings, which he gave them, and they followed idols, and guess what? Became empty. Well, what do you know? You worship idols, you worship false gods, you're not satisfied. You become empty. Well, there's nothing there to fill you. And then what? You just leads on. You just call, you got to do more. It doesn't lead you to say, well, there's nothing to do. There's nothing to this here. It's like, well, I got to do more. I got to keep doing it. I got to do more. That we've talked about that. And you can do it in Christianity. When you're so performance-based, you can never be filled because you're constantly trying to be perfect. You're trying to do more. That's what religion is. They're never filled. Okay, and followed the nations that surrounded about them, which the Lord had commanded them. not to do as they did. And they abandoned all the commandments of the Lord their God and made for themselves, here we go, cast metal images, two calves, and they made Asherah and worshipped all the heavenly lights and served Baal. This is Israel. This is not somewhere in Eastern Asia. This is not somewhere in Amazon rainforest. This is Israel. Then they made their sons and daughters pass through the fire. Okay? What? Child sacrifice. Those religions were huge. Baal was huge. Child sacrifice. And it wasn't quick either. It wasn't quick and painless. Child sacrifice. And they practiced divination and interpreting omens. Stay clear of astrology. Okay? Stay clear of astrology. The Bible's full of it that is not of God. Okay? Somebody wants to tell your fortune, I could tell your fortune, you're going to be out of $100 when you go see them. Okay? Don't go for that. It's not of God. It's against God. Okay? They gave themselves over to evil and the side of the Lord, provoking him. So the Lord was very angry of Israel, and he removed them from his sight, and no one was left except the tribe of Judah. He turned from them. I fully believe the Bible when it says the nation that forgets God will be cast into hell. I totally believe that. God has spared us because overall, and we're not perfect, but overall, people in this country have recognized God. We've been a friend to Israel. We've sent out missionaries throughout the world. We may not be perfect, but I dare you to find another country in the world who has done more for the Christian faith and for Jesus Christ than the United States of America. We're not perfect. Never said we were. But we've done more than anybody else. And yet, now I'm scared we're getting away from that. No, we're getting away from it. I'm afraid somewhere along the line very soon there's going to be a breaking point. And when there is, we have an example here of what happens. Okay? It said he removed them from his sight. Now look at verses 24 through 41. I'm not going to read 24 through 41, but I'm going to read three verses here. Verses 24 through 41 are about the population replacement of pagans brought into Samaria when the Jews were deported. So what happens? He turns his back on them and the Jews are deported out. They're moved out by the invading armies, okay? And what happens is Samaria, when they're gone, somebody else has to fill the void. So they've got all these people from the nations, from other countries, they come in and they bring their gods. Okay, so it gets even worse. Go through and look how they were worshiping other gods. They were trying to worship God and other gods as well. So what happened is, if you read the whole thing, they come in and God's not happy with them either. And he sent lions in, and these lions are just attacking villages and places, and they're eating people. And these people are, and they've got enough sense to know whatever gods it is, we've made them mad. We've got to get right with them. So they bring in priests who are of the Jewish faith. They bring in priests, and the priests try to teach them in the law. So they've got that going for them, but guess what? They're not believers. They're just trying to appease. That's all they're trying to do, get an insurance policy, because they're still doing the things that they did. They were doing both. Now they're not doing one, they're doing both, and God still said, I'm not going to have it. It's either me or it's nothing. So verse 35 says, the Lord made a covenant with them and commanded them, saying, you shall not fear other gods, nor bow down to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. When somebody tells you all religions lead to God, you do not have to go through Jesus Christ. You use that verse. It's clear as it can be. It's clear as it can be. You will not. Well, that's talking about back then. No, it says other gods. Any other God outside of Jehovah and Jesus Christ, through Him, the great mediator, you won't do it. Okay? Now look at verses 40 through 41. However, they did not listen, but they kept acting in accordance with their earlier custom. So what's their custom? They think they're worshiping Jehovah, but they've got these other gods. They're doing both. So while these nations feared the Lord, they also... So what? They feared the Lord, but what did they also do? Served their idols. Well, they're fearing the Lord. That ought to be enough, shouldn't it? Think it was, Judy? So they served their idols, their children likewise, and their grandchildren, just as their fathers did, they do to this day. Never change. And God never rewarded them. Constant war. Constant plagues. Constant droughts. Okay? God never... And even to today. And of course, at that time, it's saying at the time it's wrote, but you look at even today. You go over in that part of the world, it's all, it's just fighting, and it's just murder, and it's just, that's, and it's just one person against another. There's no other, there's no place in that part of that world that I'd feel safe in. I thank God that I can get out of bed in the morning and not have to worry about walking outside and somebody, my neighbor shoot me or something. Okay? It's, God will not reward that. Now, I want to look at one other thing. Let's look at one other and we'll be done. There was also Molech, the national, I'm looking at other gods that's listed in the Bible. There was Molech, the national god of the Ammonites. They practiced animal sacrifice. Solomon built a statue, King Solomon built a statue of it to please, you know, he had all these wives. Hundreds of wives, thousands of wives. Okay? He got away from God because he started worshiping other gods. He had all these wives that followed other gods, and he built a statue of Molech to appease his foreign-born wives. Dagon, D-A-G-O-N, was the principal deity of the Philistines. Now turn to Deuteronomy 29, 16 through 18, and we'll stop right there after we read this. Deuteronomy 29, 16 through 18. Deuteronomy 29, 16 through 18. For you know how we lived in the land of Egypt and how we passed through the midst of the nations through which you passed. Moreover, you have seen their abominations and their idols made of wood and stone. So they call worshiping other gods an abomination. Silver and gold which they had with them. So that there will not be among you a man or a woman, a family or a tribe, whose heart turns away from the Lord our God to serve the gods of those nations. He said, not one of you should do it. That there will not be among you a root bearing poisonous fruit and wormwood. He said, it's poisonous. You follow these other gods, these other religions, you're going to bear poisonous fruit. I've got one more verse for that. Joshua 23. Now stop after this one, because I've got a second verse in this. I didn't realize this. Joshua 23. Joshua 23, 6 through 8. God's clear. God's, I don't see any mincing words here. I don't see anything where you say, well, we've got to leave it up to interpretation. I'm not sure what it said. God is clear. Joshua 23, verses 6 through 8. Be very determined then to keep and do everything that is written in the book of the law of Moses. So remember, this is not written to the body, but it's for us. Paul says that all these things that have been written in the past is for our, basically our education, our spiritual education. We're to learn from it. So that you will not turn aside from it to the left nor the right. So that you will, what's he say? Not associate with these nations. Remember what we said about nations. Which remain with you or mention the name of their gods or make anyone swear by them or serve them or bow down to them. You won't do it. You won't even think about it. You won't even utter those words. But you are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. It's direct. There's no beating around the bush on that. There's like, well, what this really meant. No. Hush. It is, he's saying it. You will not serve other gods, but only God Jehovah. And with us, Jehovah, through Jesus Christ, through the blood that was shed on the cross, through his resurrection, anything else, you're going to come up short. It's not going to bring you to God. It's going to lead to an eternity away from God. Now, if you don't know him, and I trust everybody here does, but if you don't know him, if you're listening out there, I'm sure we've got people that don't be fooled. Jesus Christ is the only way to an eternity with God. There's no other way. No other way in which man shall be saved than Jesus Christ. You look at all this, we've not mentioned one thing in here that can be conceived as a sin. It didn't talk about their personal lives. It didn't talk about their morality. All of this was they turned away from God and worshiped other gods. Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. If you don't follow him, you face the same thing these individuals face them. You'll meet them one day. Jesus Christ is the only way. You must believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. You repent of your sins. You say, Jesus, I accept this. I accept your grace and mercy. I accept your finished work on the cross. I understand that you died for me. I want to become a Christian. I want to live for you. You believe with that. You say, that's it. You believe in Jesus Christ. There's no other name. You believe in it. You will be saved. But you cannot go these other routes and start tamping around and say, well, I believe all religion. If you believe, then believe that. If you say you're a Christian and you have belief in that, I have to wonder. I really have to wonder where you're at spiritually if you believe that. Martha Jo, if you'll come and play. There's only one way. Jesus Christ is the only way.